on the 25th of July, 1969. And it has been another one of those waiting for the war weeks. This means you just sit and anticipate what is going to happen next. The entire week, we here at Bearcat have been put on a strong yellow alert status. This means that an attack is imminent. Therefore, the service club has been closed every night at 1800. Then you come home and you sit and you wait and you stay close to the bunker, and on a couple of occasions we were ordered to sleep in the bunker the whole night, which we did. I say we, I mean me, and right now I have two other gals working for me, Miss McCaffrey, a new gal, as of 2 weeks, and Linda Wright. In addition to that, I have two of the three men that work for me over here most of the time, Ralph Dapkus and Bob Trefney. The five of us have slept on a few occasions this week, a few nights, in the bunker. If you stop and think about what could happen and what could take place and what would you do and et cetera, et cetera, you could go crazy. The military doesn't know for sure what is going to happen. The only thing they are sure of is that the enemy is in a striking position. It's within firing limits. It's within a distance that they can do a lot of damage if they wish. So, rather than take any precautions, we have stayed very close to the bunker. We have listened with one ear at all times for the siren telling us that the compound is under attack. Now, the siren did come, I guess it was Sunday or Monday, around 1800 hours. Just shortly afterwards, we had just gotten home, and I think it was a false alarm, or if it was not a false alarm, it was only because the mortars or the rockets had not penetrated the berm, the barrier. They had landed outside. But it's a hell of a week to put in, and the week isn't over yet. I mean, I don't know how long it will last. Hopefully it will go off today. I know it's still on today at this hour, and it's almost 1800 hours, but I hope it doesn't last too many days. The few nights we spent in the bunker were not comfortable. The bunker is damp, extremely damp, since it rains every day, and the last week we have had a great deal of rain through the night, to the point where the bunkers leak, all of them leak. I have been sitting in a chair. In fact, we have mattresses and some cots in the bunker. Most of them are wet, and they stay wet. I have a lawn chair that I have put in the bunker, and I have slept in it with a flak vest on, a steel pot on my stomach, and a couple of times I had the camera tucked between my knees, hoping I could possibly get a picture of something exploding, which is kind of ridiculous in a way, but nonetheless, that was the way I slept. I had on jungle fatigues, and as you lay there, the rain comes dripping in on you. And one morning, 5:30 in the morning, the rain was coming in the entrance to the bunker, and I am very close to the entrance, or at least I was that night, and I was just soaked right through my clothing, and it's pretty awkward sleeping in a long chair with a flak vest on, because they're very heavy, they're very hot. However, I am usually cold anyway through the night when it rains. Most people die of the heat here in Vietnam, but through the night it's cool enough that you need something on you. Even though you don't need blankets, you need just a sheet. Some nights, rather than go into the bunker, I have allowed myself and my staff to sleep in our beds. However, most of us sleep in clothes. We sleep in a... I wear jungle fatigues, and so does Linda. a pair of dungarees or something so that if we have to get up at the sound of the siren, we can at least have something on us to jump into the bunker. There's not an awful lot I can say about these alerts, other than I picture Mick, the new gal. She has slept faithfully every night in the bunker. I know she's quite concerned, quite scared of what could happen. And as I say, if you let yourself concentrate on it, think about it, for a period of time, you can become extremely nervous. The one humorous part here is the other night we were sitting watching a movie that we had brought home and were showing in our own living room. And it has happened a few times in the past that I have been the last person to hear the siren. Part of the reason is because right next door to us is where the Chinooks are. And the Chinooks are a huge Huey, a double rotary blade Huey chopper. But they work on them at night, and they run an auxiliary power unit. And it sounds like a siren. And it runs constantly sometimes through the night. So that when I do hear the siren, I just assume it's one of the Chinooks. Anyhow, a couple of times when the siren has gone off, I have not heard it. And the other night when we were watching this movie, the siren went off, and I heard it. And I was the first one up, and I had my flak vest and my steel pot within arm's length of myself. And I was the first one out the door, and everybody followed. Well, it turned out that the siren was in the movie, and I've read about this before. And we didn't realize it at first. In fact, we had Colonel Porter was with us that evening watching the movie. He got up and he called his talk and wanted to know who was ringing the siren. And they were still checking it all evening. He was getting calls about the siren that had gone off. And here it was in the movie we were watching. And we re-ran the movie, and sure enough, that's where the siren was. But it's enough to send goosebumps up and down your spine. And we laughed. We certainly did. We really had a ball about it. But at the same time, it makes you very, very jittery. I don't like to go 10 feet away from my flak vest and my steel pot and my bunker. In addition to that, I always keep a flashlight. See, when I wear these jungle fatigues, they have pockets all over. I keep a flashlight in the pocket, cigarettes in the pocket. Things, my pocketbook, I keep close at hand. Things that I wish to have with me wherever I am. And that's the way it has been the entire week here. You get to the point where you get very relaxed. Like last night, I let everybody sleep wherever they wanted to sleep. Ralph slept at the club. Mick slept in the bunker. Bob slept here for a while and then went back to the service club. Linda and I slept in our beds. So that every night this week, we have waited and wondered, where will we sleep tonight and what will take place tonight? The noise of the war that you never see, you only seem to hear the war, goes on all night. It has been very heavy this week, starting anywhere from 8, 9 o'clock in the evening, going all the way to 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. Most of this is outgoing artillery. You can hear it from this compound. You sometimes can hear it from compounds 7 miles down the road. I am not experienced enough yet to know when all of it is outgoing. However, I have recognized incoming rounds before the siren has gone off. So perhaps I am learning. Hopefully I won't have the chance to learn too much. I'd rather not learn and not hear them incoming. That's another week here at Bearcat, Vietnam.